And here's one of Valet's quotes. Are we dealing instead with a parallel universe? From that mysterious universe, are higher beings projecting objects that can materialize and dematerialize at will? Are some UFOs windows rather than objects?
In other words, paranormal.
Hello, everyone. I'm Suzanne, and I'm here with John. Welcome to another episode of God and the Paranormal, a podcast exploring high strangeness from a biblical worldview. Well, we've been beating around the bush on UFOs, haven't we?
I like to think of it more as just building suspense, maybe. We've actually looked at a cross-section of UFO sightings and alien abduction cases, and one overarching question keeps coming up. Are these phenomena paranormal?
And to remind listeners of our standard definition of paranormal, things that could be of a supernatural origin or things that may just be unexplainable by current science knowledge.
Yeah. And currently, even if real physical extraterrestrials are involved, it would still fall into the paranormal category.
Because we can't explain them with our current scientific knowledge.
Yeah, that's right. So let's consider the extraterrestrial hypothesis again. That's the ETH. This is the view that when we consider all things UFO, whether it's strange lights or nuts and bolts craft or abductions, the whole thing, we're assuming that behind it all are extraterrestrials or non-human intelligences. That's what they're calling it now.
Basically, sentient beings who don't originate on the Earth.
Yeah, and obviously there are nuances to this, but for now, let's just stick with the general definition of ETH. That most, if not all, the unexplained UFO phenomena are interactions between us and some kind of extraterrestrial.
And if listeners recall from episode 17, we assume four possible explanations for UFO-UAP phenomena. One, they're all misidentified ordinary things or hoaxes.
And it's not all or nothing. We could actually have one or all four of these explanations going on,
yes.
I think. And as a merely educated guess, I think at least half of all reported UFO events are probably misidentified common objects.
Right. And that may go on for other paranormal encounters, such as ghosts, too.
Yeah.
But the second explanation is undisclosed secret military craft or operations.
And that could include not just our military, it could also be like countries or even private corporations with new technologies.
Okay, and possibilities three and four are related in a sense. Possibility three, we could actually have the extraterrestrial hypothesis with real physical entities from non-Earth locations. And four, the phenomenon is caused by paranormal or supernatural beings. And there's some overlap there, isn't there?
Yeah, paranormal could actually turn into something that's just normal if someday we have a better understanding of maybe the physical forces behind something.
And the idea of a supernatural could lead to a lot of possibilities, such as what we might call spiritual entities, which Hynek and Valet both considered.
Yeah, both of them. But let's save that fourth possibility just a little longer and give a closer look at the third possibility, the ETH or the extraterrestrial hypothesis. And let's start by restating some of the problems we've noted with the ETH. First, there are problems with physics, obviously. The physical laws we know to be true about our universe, these apply across the known universe. So,
and the big problem is size and distance, right?
Yeah.
The universe is indescribably huge, and if we're getting visits from beings outside our solar system or even the galaxy, that's a problem.
Yeah, I would say it's impossible. If an object were to travel within what we consider natural speeds, it would take thousands to literally billions of years to make a trip from one star to another.
Well, and then the question always comes up, what about super speeds or faster than natural?
Yeah, and immediately we're back into science fiction again. Our minds tend to drift into those fantasy what ifs because that's what we're immersed in. It's been science fiction for decades now.
But couldn't we go faster than the speed of light?
Well, on Star Trek and Star Wars, you can. And on Stargate, you have magical portals that you could pass through. But the scientific sounding things that we have, like warp drive and hyperspace and traversable wormholes, those aren't real things. And there's good reason to believe they never will be.
So no light speed then.
Well, for light, maybe, but not for matter. And Einstein and others were pretty certain about that. So even if something could reach or exceed the speed of light, think of all the issues with inertia and friction and things like that.
So this is a real problem for the ETH.
Yeah, it's a big problem. If we say ETs live in the same universe as us and they're physical, they have to obey the same physical laws we do.
In a related problem we've mentioned previously, even the phenomena that we see allegedly already here in our atmosphere, there are physical problems.
Yeah, the pilot in the Nimitz encounter in 2004, he summed it up pretty well. And he said these things don't abide by known physical laws. They fly too fast for conditions. They split apart and join back together. And they seemingly maneuver with no regard to gravity or inertia or any other physical law that we have. Even if a craft could turn on a dime at 20,000 miles per hour, that would kind of turn the bodies inside to mush.
And these physical limitations would obviously apply to those secret military craft in possibility too.
Right. They would work under the same physics as anything else. So shouldn't we be able to detect a physical craft before it gets to the atmosphere even?
I heard one ufologist bring up the fact that we've never seen any type of UFO in outer space. They seem to just appear in our atmosphere.
Yeah, except for the astronauts who claim to have seen UAP from their spacecrafts. No one ever picks up a visual or radar image of something coming toward the Earth and or even entering the atmosphere.
And there are plenty of radar reports.
Yeah, and sonar now. That brings up the phenomena of traveling underwater, too. Numerous reports from pilots and others recently who have observed craft going from air to water effortlessly, almost without even splashing, they say. And the Nimitz group picked up the Tic Tac object with radar and sonar.
Wow.
Anyway, the problems of atmospheric physics are just multiplied when you're in water.
Okay, let's throw out some other random yet important issues with the ETH. Speaking of random, what about the random behavior of UFOs?
Yeah, these may seem minor, but when you take everything as a whole, I think they bring up some serious questions. So here's one. Why do we observe UFOs?
Well, you mean like, as opposed to what, not seeing them?
Exactly. And in this discussion, I realize I'm making a lot of presumptions about alleged ETs, which I obviously know nothing about. But
well, a few presumptions are okay, right? Because science can deal with that.
Well, especially when it's all we've got to go on, I guess.
Okay, so go ahead and presume.
Okay, so let's assume the ETs don't want to be seen. Couldn't they just turn their lights off, maybe? At least at nighttime.
Can they do that?
Well, on the nuts and bolts craft, I would think so.
I guess if you had to travel a billion light years, you would have invented a headlight switch.
You would think so.
Yeah.
And do they even need lights? I mean, human aircraft only use lights to see each other. Military craft go dark all the time.
Then the presumption is they want to be seen.
I think so. Or they just don't care, maybe.
And if they want to be seen and know, they're doing a really sloppy job at it.
And I think that goes for sightings in general. Either you want to be known or you don't want to be known, or you just don't care. So UFOs are notoriously flirtatious, I think.
Yeah.
And my question is why? If you want us to know about you, land in Times Square and contact the major networks.
Or send a robocall to every phone on Earth.
Yeah.
If you can travel a billion miles, you should be able to do that.
Yeah. And what if you don't want to be known? Even we primitive humans have pretty good stealth technology, so...
That's a thought for them to consider. If you don't want to be seen, don't land near crowded schoolyards or fly over major populated areas. Is it so difficult to find a desert or an isolated wheat field?
And if you do choose the wheat field, don't draw intricate crop circles on it.
Right. Yeah. And if you are about to crash, head toward an ocean or a junkyard.
Seriously, though, these are mixed signals and they add up, don't they? Especially with thousands and thousands of reports as data. If ETs do exist, we assume there's a purpose behind their activity, but they certainly don't hint of any consistent purpose, I don't think.
Maybe it's like Men in Black, and there are lots of different ET
Yeah,
species flying
could
around.
be. But even on that movie, there was kind of an overarching purpose that was involved. And I
Yeah.
admit there is a danger in attempting to anthropomorphize actions of alleged beings that we only are speculating about.
It's true. But I think we can assume some broad reasoning here. There seems to be a purposeful effort to travel all the way here and navigate our skies and mess with our military and others for over 70 years. So are they looking for something? Are they just studying us like we're lab animals? Valet noted how absurd this curiosity guinea pig theory is. Once again, the assumption is that to travel here in sophisticated spacecraft would take sophisticated technology. So how long does it take mega brains to study Earthlings? How many abductions does it take? Shouldn't advanced space travelers have all the info they need by now?
Yeah, even Hynek has stated, quote, "It seems ridiculous that any intelligence would come from such great distances to do reportedly stupid things like stopping cars and frightening people." Yeah, and someone else said, "There are three reasons for ETs to come here." And I agree, either to study us or the Earth, or to kill us or use us for something, or to help us.
And after 7 decades, none of these seem to be panning out.
No. And here's a few more things to consider. Almost all reports of the ETs themselves have them with humanoid features. If they presumably evolved in a galaxy far, far away, what are the chances that they would even have the same body plans as humans? I mean, with heads, arms, legs, eyes, things like that.
And even the sizes, why should we assume ETs are roughly human size? Couldn't they be an inch tall or 100 feet tall?
And even the alleged craft they travel in, basically human-oriented, aren't they?
So you mentioned landing in Times Square. I think that's another odd aspect of UFOs. When they are witnessed, it's almost always so random. People with no real clout politically or academically. It's just like average people.
Yeah. And when they communicate, why the cliche random advice that they give? Why can't it be something like on that the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still? Did you ever see that?
I think so, a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old movie, but Klaatu, the alien, tried to give us a cancer cure. So can't ETs give us something immediately useful, like cheap energy or even a cure for receding hairlines or something like that?
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
But some people say, such as Grush, that we have received technology from ETs and not just the reverse engineered stuff.
Yeah. Do you think they gave us cell phones and social media just to distract us?
Well, and to hypnotize our children. That's a pretty good hypothesis. Okay, so ETH or not?
Well, I think it does have too many problems.
And as we mentioned, the more Hynek and Valet observed UFO phenomena, the less they believed it was actually extraterrestrial.
I've read all of Hynek's and Valley's books, and it's really interesting to hear their thoughts on the ETH kind of evolve over the years. Listen to one of Hynek's turning point comments here. He just comes right out and admits his view. Quote, "I have come to support less and less the idea that UFOs are nuts and bolts spacecraft from other worlds."
Wow. And to remind listeners, he headed the Project Blue Book all those years and investigated thousands of
Yeah.
UFO cases. He was not an amateur.
Nope.
And here's one of Valet's quotes. Are we dealing instead with a parallel universe? From that mysterious universe, are higher beings projecting objects that can materialize and dematerialize at will? Are some UFOs windows rather than objects?
In other words, paranormal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even science fiction writer Arthur C. Clarke chimed in on this. He said, quote, "One theory which can no longer be taken seriously is that UFOs are interstellar spaceships."
Wow. To be honest, that probably didn't help with his book sales.
No. And remember, none of these men were working from a biblical perspective, yet they all started leaning toward paranormal and supernatural explanations.
Here's another quote from Valet. At first view, the very suggestion of a link to the spiritual is disturbing to a scientist. The phenomena reported by witnesses involve poltergeist effects, levitation, psychic control, healing, and out-of-body experiences familiar with occult literature.
Yeah, and he was one of the first major players to use that term spiritual in talking about UFOs and ETs.
And to start seriously lumping UFOs with ghosts and occultic phenomena, wow.
Yeah, listeners are probably familiar with the journalist John Keel. He specializes in paranormal investigations, especially the Mothman and some of the current cryptids even he's working with. But being a world traveler, he noted the difference among U.S. views and those from other countries. Here's one of
Interesting.
his comments. Quote, "In Europe, ufologists have recognized these paraphysical characteristics for years and have made considerable progress by discarding the ET myth and other aimless controversies that have bogged down their American counterparts." And to me, that seems that's still the case. Here in America, the media sort of is just stuck on the ETH, I think. A lot of leaders, when asked off the record, admit that they think it's losing credibility, though.
All right, so where does that leave us then? There seems to be too much data to say the whole phenomenon is a hoax or a mistake. It's increasingly unlikely that it's all extraterrestrial or government military. Does a paranormal explanation fit the data?
And to be accurate, most are using the term paranormal, supernatural, or spiritual. So let's consider the data again and look at what some are saying. And right from the start, I'll put my belief on the table. So I think when you say it could be supernatural, you're leaving open the possibility of a biblical supernatural, or in other words, we would call it spiritual.
And as Valet said, this could be disturbing to scientists and others who hold to only the physical world.
Yeah, it immediately separates this view into two camps, I think. Naturalists, or those who don't want to go spiritual, have at least one more explanation that keeps them out of the supernatural. So, what if the UFO phenomenon involves interdimensional beings?
And we've discussed that before. The biblical worldview could embrace this because scripture describes at least two different realms. Our physical world and another realm where supernatural and spiritual entities exist.
Yeah. And of course, naturalists wouldn't call that place heaven, and they could accept numerous dimensions, I guess, not just two.
We've also discussed possible portals or some kind of doorways connecting different realms.
Yeah. And that definitely plays into the naturalist take on this. Could interdimensionals or IDs be passing back and forth between our dimension and theirs?
That would solve the problem of space distances, UFOs seeming to break physical laws, blinking in and out of existence.
Yeah. The only problem with the IDs is whether portals or some way of traveling interdimensionally really could exist.
Or whether multiple dimensions themselves do exist.
And there is one related hypothesis that takes some of the edge off of this. Instead of different dimensions, what if UFOs and alleged ETs are simply dwelling underground on planet Earth, or maybe even in the depths of the ocean somewhere?
So Atlantis, I wondered when you would dive down that rabbit hole.
Well, I won't do it right now.
And it does give a little hope to the pure naturalist. There's no need for anything paranormal or supernatural if the aliens are just somewhere here on Earth.
And also, some suggest that maybe the aliens are living among us and simply have secret bases for building and storing their technology somewhere.
So they're essentially another Earth species that somehow have been disguising themselves for millennia.
Or do they look just like us?
Wow. Well, now we're back to just something like our own government or military being the source for UFOs.
Yeah, and I think that's where this idea starts breaking down. First, wouldn't someone have discovered this by now? And second, the problem of breaking physical laws pops up again.
Yeah.
So, if they're physical creatures in this world, that doesn't fit the observed data that we have.
So back to the IDH again, the interdimensional hypothesis.
Yeah, let's lay out what the proponents of the interdimensional hypothesis are saying. The evidence doesn't have a good fit with the ETH. At least one dimension other than ours exists. Things are able to travel between the two dimensions. Sometimes physical laws appear to be broken. And as a whole, the UFO phenomena is confusing and inconsistent with what we expect. So does any of that sound familiar?
Well, back to what Valet said, everything you just listed could also apply to a poltergeist, psychic control, out-of-body experiences, and basically any occult phenomena.
Yeah. So I know there are listeners who at this point are tuning out, but just hear me out on this first and take this just as another hypothesis for right now. I think it's at least as coherent as the ETH and the IDH. So
Okay.
here goes. Isn't the IDH consistent with the Ephesians hypothesis that we discussed in episode 4? In fact, my biblical worldview would agree with all the main points of the IDH. I believe there is an unseen dimension. I believe some entities have the ability to travel between their dimension and ours. And I believe the data we see tend to be confusing and inconsistent.
And let me remind listeners, the Ephesians hypothesis is based on chapter 6 of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. And you know, we've covered a lot of territory on this episode. Why don't we give listeners a chance to absorb it? And we'll continue in the next episode. What do you think?
I'm all for that. We'll hit the ground running next time.
Okay. We're very glad you joined us today. If you would like to comment or ask questions, please send us an email at godandtheparanormal@gmail.com. You can also get more information at our website, thinkingaboutthebible.com. And whatever platform you're listening, please subscribe, hit like, give us a thumbs up, add a comment, and especially hit the share and let others know about this podcast. And if you want more content quicker, you can also find Dr. John McWilliams' book, God and the Paranormal, at Amazon.com, where he covers all of these topics extensively. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye for now.